He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the Cool Check-In.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
Special weekend edition of Jalen and Jacoby. We always want to give you a dope pod to step to 6 days a week. We do so. So while you're driving around, getting ready for Thanksgiving, taking the kids to get vaccinated, we appreciate you for tuning in to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose. A couple things I want to talk to you about. Now, I know getting your number retired and getting statues is something very important to you that you track with serious research and reckless abandon. And on January 5th, Dirk Nowitzki is getting his number retired. But he needs a statue. Like, that is a statue-worthy performance from him in Dallas. Why is he not getting a statue?
I believe he'll get one. Just because it's not happening when his number gets retired. And by the way, we know what it's going to be, the one-leg jumper all day. Floppy hair, Dirk, one-leg jumper all day. And you mentioned the championship run that he had. It's not only how the Mavs won, it's who he won with. Jason Kidd, very later in his career. Jason Terry, at times, played LeBron James and Dwayne Wade to a standstill.
Tyson
Deshaun
Chandler.
Deshaun Stevenson.
Don't sleep on J.J. Barea either, man. Barea was a big part of that series. Like the Heat had like Barea. Real meetings. The Heat had meetings. They're like, how do we slow down J.J. Barea? Somehow we're losing the championship because he's got 25 points.
And also the time when Dirk wasn't feeling his breast and Wade and LeBron was key-keying in the tunnel, got caught on camera about him being hurt, and then they got shot down. And so
they were mocking his sickness.
That was an incredible, and it was a bounce back because remember they had lost in the first round to the Golden State Warriors.
Yep, after being the number
one.
And
so for that level of perseverance with Dirk is incredible. So shout to him and Mark Cuban. I always told Dirk he was second in the most improved though in 2000. He was second.
Oh, he was. Oh, who happened to take down that trophy that year? Who took down that trophy that year?
He was second.
Who won that trophy that year?
I got that at the crib.
Good for you. Good for you, Mr. Rose.
Got that at the crib.
The Miami Heat got a big win over the surprisingly successful Wizards. Can the Wizards maintain this run that they've been on? They're now sitting at 10-5.
Not top three. No.
No.
Same with the Bulls. Not top three. No. And I understand the marathon that is an NBA season. And a lot of, you know, it's not how you're playing, it's when you're playing them. So right now, this is a good time to play against the Lakers. They ain't have LeBron. It was a good time for a while to play against the Bucks. They had a lot of injuries. It's the better time to play against the Nuggets, they don't have Murray. It's a better time to play against the Clippers. They don't have Kawhi. And so I could go down the line of people taking advantage of their schedule, but also people playing really well. And the Bulls did early. So did the Wizards. They've etched themselves in that, you know, four to seven space. I believe they should be at two of those teams if they... No, I say 5-7. I say that two of those teams should be able to occupy two of those spots. And the thought of them like making it to the conference finals, not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean the Wizards should be happy to be in a play-in situation based on their expectations, and I think the Bulls have played a lot better, especially defensively, than I expected them to. I think the Bulls will legitimately not have to worry about a play-in and maybe even get that 4 seed. But there are teams that I expect to ascend, like the Nets, like the Heat, you know, there's in the Bucks, like all three.
Bucks.
That to me is the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. They're going to be 1, 2, 3 in whatever order, depending on injuries. We haven't discussed this. The Staples Center changing their name to Crypto.com Arena. Now, I've gotten used to some weird sponsored stadium names, but there's something about Los Angeles and putting Crip in the name of the Staples Center that just doesn't seem right to me.
Nope.
Well, that's one of those things, everybody, like strip clubs and marijuana. Mainstream America for so long made it taboo, and it was so very frowned upon, even though there are more adult entertainment establishments where you live than colleges. The exact same thing. If we didn't call the Washington football team their logo for years, we said Dan Snyder was going to change it, not because he wanted to. We said when it affected his bottom line, he was going to be forced to. And that eventually happened. And so the moral police, when you look at a name like the Wizards, you'd be like, it's good that they switched it from the Bullets. It totally makes sense. We know why they're not calling a team in Washington Bullets. And so you would think the same thing apply in California, clearly, because that's the game capital of the United States of America. And money tends to ascend morality. And in this case, not only do you have the crypto, but it's even worse, to be honest, that you add the .com after it. Like, yeah. That just make it, like, so very corporate. Like, at least give us, you know, like, some creativity with the name or the slogan.
Well, it just seems to me that whoever made this deal didn't think about the implications of having the word Crip in the title of a Los Angeles professional basketball arena. Now, what do you think about this story? Antonio Brown has a former chef, and I always take what disgruntled employees say with a grain of salt, but his former chef, who he says owes him something like $10,000, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and he said that Antonio Brown got his lady friend to get him a counterfeit vaccination card. Huh. What do you think about this? Will this actually affect his availability on the field if he's healthy?
I say this respectfully and truthfully. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, whatever turbulence they endure, it doesn't force them to miss football games usually. And ever since AB became one of Brady's guys, a lot of the allegations that he's had away from the football field are things that we don't discuss anymore because they're winning. And as a matter of fact, they just won the Super Bowl. So I've watched them play the last few weeks without AB, and it seems like Tom Brady needs him. So for me, the Bucs are going to ride with their player, whether he had a fake one or not. And I don't think it's going to affect him missing time in any way, shape, or form. Now, for Aaron Rodgers, he got fined $15,000 for saying he was immunized, not behaving like he was unvaccinated. And he's the first person I've heard in the world that gets the immunity to not take the test for 90 days. I don't know who he knows, but I'm taking tests. Like, I'm in Boston now. I had to take a test to come from New York to Boston to be in the arena for the game tonight.
I think the protocol says that if you test positive, you don't have to be tested for something like 60 days after you tested positive because of the antibodies in your system. Jalen, Zach Taylor, coach of the Bengals, said something very relatable. He said when he goes to Vegas, he doesn't go with his wife. And when he goes to Vegas, he doesn't go to the pool. He doesn't go to the shows. He just sits and plays craps for 72 hours straight. What do you think about Zach Taylor's Vegas strategy?
I believe that's why Joe Burrow and Chase balling this year. You need that edge from your league guy. But in all honesty, it has nothing to do with football. I enjoy playing craps. And what I learned to distinguish is enjoying playing craps versus enjoying gambling. And so I modify how I bet and when I play because I want to play more often so that I can still get the enjoyment of playing, but not necessarily the stress of gambling.
Yes.
I got to get some old school crap games together again.
Yeah, we haven't played blackjack together in a long time. You know what I mean? We haven't played blackjack. We used to play blackjack like once every 3 months together.
Let's do that.
It's been too long.
Let's do that.
So your point is, don't bet more than you're going to get really sad about losing. You know what I mean? Because that'll ruin your whole weekend. So that's what you mean about the stress of gambling. Like, yeah, it's fun to win a lot, but it's really not fun to lose a lot. So if you bet lower stakes, so then when you lose, you still have a good vibe.
No.
But I got to disagree with Mr. Taylor on one thing. I like to be at the pool. I think you got to break up the gambling sessions. You know what I mean? You can't just be sitting inside all the time. You want to go to the pool, have an adult beverage, you know, just interact with some strangers. Like be in Vegas. I like to go to a nice restaurant while I'm in Vegas, spend a little bit more on dinner than I would normally spend. You know, like when I go to Vegas, I do have long gambling marathons, but they usually don't last more than like 4 or 5 hours. I break it up with activities.
I'm not going to go 72 hours straight, but there is an art to like consistency at the tables. Like for me, that has never been something that I feel like I can show up for 2 or 3 hours and rake up a lot of money and walk away. Like that's an ebb and flow. Bet up, bet down, ride the table when it's going well, put it in idle when the table's going bad, lower the bets when it's not going good, double down, triple down, split hands when it's going good, double and triple hands when you're trying to break up the table. So like that take time. Mm. So like in my mind, when I sit down, that's at least 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-mm.
If I'm focused. If
Mm-mm.
I'm focused.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. Jalen, Anthony Lynn says that as the offensive coordinator, he doesn't view Dan Campbell taking over play calling duties as a demotion. If you're the offensive coordinator of a team and you've been making the play calls and then your kneecap eating head coach decides to take over those play-calling duties, isn't that, by definition, a demotion?
And to take it a step further, you've been a head coach already. So mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And when you're the Lions, you got to try anything. I get it. You know, we'll see what happens this weekend. But we got the Super Bowl on Thursday. That's what I'm getting ready for.
Who do y'all play on Thursday?
This is the appetizer.
Who do y'all play on Thursday?
Philadelphia.
Okay. That's
and I got to tell you something. I got to give a shout out that we do play Philadelphia. You know what? Hey, man, I'm a man of the people, dog. So I need to give a shout out in particular to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Because for those that weren't paying attention last week, Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith scored a touchdown. And he kind of did a gyration that we used to do during college. You know? And it has to do with, like, you know, having a lot of courage. You know, like big cojones, you know, when you make a play. Right?
Okay.
And I got to tell you something. They've adopted the Fab Five's motto of gotta let them hang for the rest of the season. It's only right that they have a quarterback named Jalen. My guy, Big Play Slay, former Lion.
Make it plays.
Nephew, Brandon Graham, out for the season. Get well soon. So that's their motto. And I'm not going to be in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. But when you see them doing that when they score on my Lions, that's a salute, a representation, a shout out to the Fab Five. And one other thing, what's crazy about it is Thanksgiving Day, we're going to have a parade. We're going to have a performance. Like, y'all going to be watching a football game. For us, it's going to be the Super Bowl.
Like Aretha, she will be there. Rest in peace. We see Big Sean. I don't know. You know what? Who's the halftime act this year? I don't even know.
Dude, we do halftime acts for the Super Bowl. We don't do halftime acts for the Lions game on Thanksgiving. Please. Please. The Lions are going to have 0 wins and 1 tie at the end of this season. I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see a lot of hope because the only hope is that they can get a win over the Eagles on Thanksgiving. And
We're going to bring on a couple of Eagles and or their coach, especially if they keep my Lions winless after Thanksgiving.
I've got huge news from our producer, Demetrius. Huge news.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He was talking to Sway and Heather B. And he said that there's a potential versus battle matchup between two heavyweights, two titans of the industry, two men from the Northeast that are so successful outside of music that they're now media moguls. These are brands. These are two of the most recognizable faces in the world. LL Cool J and Will Smith have discussed a versus battle. I know that you care more about versus battles than anything else in your life. What do you think about these two titans potentially squaring off?
Will Smith gonna get crushed.
That's how I feel too. It's not gonna be close.
He don't have a chance.
Yep. Yeah.
He don't have a chance. I don't even like this. I'm not rolling with this. You know I got a text chain with Timberland and Swift that they don't realize I'm in, I believe. It's like 19 people in it. I'm about to respond to that. And I'm like, I'm not rolling with this.
This is not fair.
No.
This is not fair.
No.
I don't want to see this.
No. I need an LL against somebody like KRS-One.
When LL plays like Mama Said Knock You Out, are you going to play Welcome to Miami? Like, is that going to be your response? You know what I mean?
No,
it's like Will Smith is just not, he's not the right type of rapper to go up against LL Cool J. Like, people know LL Cool J late in his career, but early on, he was hard.
Jacoby, hit the brakes. I got some breaking news about that song, Welcome to Miami. One of my Renaissance Man guests, and make sure you download the Renaissance Man podcast, new episode every Thursday, Mayim Bialik this week, one of the hosts of Jeopardy. Did you know one of the guests of the show wrote that song for Will Smith?
What?
By the name of Nasir Jones.
What?
Really? I love Nasir.
Yes, indeed.
I hope you got paid a lot.
And if you, and I'll give you the period. Remember Nas, like the Black Girl Lost period.
Of course.
Like that's when he wrote the song. And so, I don't like Will Smith in a versus. And here's the other thing. I just gotta sometimes say what other people thinking. The entanglement with Jada that Will has going on also is not good for his social media reputation.
No.
And these are gonna be the people that are voting. And this is gonna be the court of public opinion. And there have been a lot of slander based on some of the interviews that Jada has been so very open about their relationship.
very open about their relationship. And right now might not be the time to get into an insult battle or any battle of any sort. You're exposed to some very hurtful comments from LL Cool J.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you can't be playing Summertime and getting jiggy with it and Welcome to Miami in a battle. You know,
parents,
you got
just
hits,
don't understand.
Will. Like, you got hits, Will, but, like, the tone, the lyrical tone of your hits isn't exactly Mama Said Knock You Out.
I'm going to tell you, like Will Smith should be going against, like, Pitbull.
There you go. I mean, that's Pitbull is, yeah.
Will Smith has major hits, too. Demetrius.
Will Smith got hits, but like Rock the Bells. I'm just some of the stuff that
I can't live without my radio. I'm bad.
Like all of that. I'm sorry. This, KRS-One or somebody. LL Cool J is one of the best to ever do it. One of the best to ever do it.
And also, LL is an actual battle rapper. Will Smith is makes songs.
He's an entertainer.
Yeah.
Well, we got...
Shout out to Jazzy Jeff, though. Hopefully, I get a chance to see him do a set.
3-6 Mafia against Bone coming up. What do you think about that one, Jalen? Someone who cares about versus battles more than anybody else in the world.
I think that... I don't necessarily love this matchup either. Not saying that I don't love both artists. I'm saying that a Southern throwback... underappreciated group like 3-6 Mafia, I would have liked to see them go against somebody like Bun B, UGK, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that. You're good at this, Jalen Rose. You're like the matchmaker of versus battles. Like whoever those people are that people pay $100,000 to find a wife or a husband, you're like that for versus battles. Millionaire matchmaker versus bad. Like just off the top of the dome, I'd much rather see 3-6 Mafia against UGK than 3-6 Mafia against Bone Thugs. I have, for a long time on this podcast, for years, expressed that Bone Thugs is not exactly my cup of tea, but you know, it is what it is.
And I love Bone. But I got an opponent for them too. Like I would like to see them go maybe against somebody like. I'll come back to theirs. But I got to tell you something. Oh, hit the brakes, Reg. Oh, hit the brakes, Reg. I looked down at my phone today, and there's a number that's in my phone under Gangster Gibbs, and he sent me a song with him and Jada that I listened to 5 times this morning. It made me go to the studio in Boston instead of the one in Newton because I wasn't really paying attention because I was listening to that song. True story. Bars! 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 So when you get up out of that chair, David Jacoby, I need you, when you go have your nice professional power lunch, kick it with you.
Right before yoga.
Oh, you got yoga today? Yeah. You're such an adult. Such a professional. But I'm telling you, dog, Freddie Gibbs and Jada, got some new heat out, dog.
I love
it. Called Black Illuminati. It's called Black Illuminati. Bars!
I'm going to do that after the show. I want to recognize AJ Brown, who this week was very open and honest about his mental health struggles in the past year, said that he once considered taking his own life. And he spoke about that at a press conference. Let's listen to Titans wide receiver AJ Brown open up.
Sure, everyone saw the video I posted on Friday. To be honest, I posted the video. That was a dark time in my life. Didn't nobody really know. But I posted it because I wanted to encourage others to seek help whenever they are down. I didn't know, really didn't take in consideration what depression really was. I always just brushed it off. That's how I grew up. I just brushed off my feelings and it got the best of me, you know? And I just wanted to put out a positive message that that I'm still here. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm blessed. I got a lot of things to be grateful for, and someone was there for me. So reach out to your loved ones and ask them how they're doing, and listen to them, you know, because it's important.
I want to give a big shout to AJ Brown for being so open and honest and being telling his story that hopefully can help others seek the same kind of help that he got during the down times.
So I have to say something also. Shout to him. I'm a huge fan. Thank you very much for being vulnerable. Being open and vulnerable has its levels, right? And I'll just tell you, it's a lot different when you're not a normal size black guy, right? So like for me, I'm 6'8". For him, like he has muscles on top of muscles, right? He physically looks invincible, right? That's what sports does. That's what society does in particular to black men, right? It makes us feel like we can't be vulnerable. We have to be willing to run through a brick wall because that's what we've been called upon to do time and time again. And football is what he does for a living, and he's really good at it. But I was listening to the tone in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched a lot of his interviews. Like I said, I'm a fan of his. Like I was watching him in college. Like that's the one thing about doing this a long time. Like we also get a chance to like watch players and people kind of grow. And that was mature. That was responsible. That was real. That was that was impressive. And I would love to have him on the show. And I'm going to make steps to try to do so because that message is really important in a gladiator-type sport that he plays like football.
Really well put, Mr. Rose. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is listening to the people. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. What's the number people need to call right now?
98580-JA. L-E-N.
If you call 9580 Jalen, we'll put your voicemail on the program just like this one.
What up, Jalen and Jacoby? Shout out Reg the Ledge. This is Dion calling from Yeah. One, what happened to the Keep It Moving segment? Like, I feel like I haven't heard that in years. Thanksgiving's coming up. I personally think turkey's overrated, but someone gifted my fiance and I a turkey. So I'm trying to figure out how I should cook it. Should I smoke it? Should I just bake it? Don't really know what I'm doing here, so any advice would be helpful. But yeah, that's it. Keep getting them checks. Take care.
Thanks so much for the call, Dion. Appreciate you. You haven't heard the last of the Keep Moving segment. It's coming back. Mr. Rose, turkey is wildly overrated. I'm with Dion on this. Turkey's the worst thing on your plate on Thanksgiving. The worst thing. The idea that you need to smother it in gravy just to make it just to make it acceptable is an indicator that it's not good enough by itself. I don't have to smother chicken in gravy. I don't, because chicken tastes good on its own with a nice little sauce and seasoning. Turkey is whack to me, but Dion wants to know how he should cook it. And if you're going to say fry it, you're going to burn down Dion's house, man.
Thank you for the call, Dion. Appreciate the love. Show's always better with more method, man. We need more Keep It Moving. I agree. The blasphemy that you're spitting about turkey, like,
it's not good.
The rest of us, in particular, some of our teammates at LAPC have enjoyed amazing deep fried turkey over the years. That's like, I prefer dark meat. So I'm going to prefer the dark meat of the turkey as well. So when it's deep fried and or have a little Cajun, man, that's heavenly.
Nope.
I chop that leg off. I be eating that thing like Fred Flintstone.
Doug, the worst part of the turkey is the turkey leg. The absolute worst part of the turkey is the turkey leg. With those tendons in there and that like little weird spiky bone that's not the bone in there. Ugh, ugh. Turkey's gross. I love Thanksgiving. I love the mac and cheese. I love the greens. I love the sides. I love the stuffing. I love the cranberry. I love the wine. I love the Lions losing. I love all of that. But I just get one little piece of white meat, just a little one, just to say I ate some turkey. And I don't even like the turkey sandwich the next day with the mayo and the pepper. I'm out on that. Dion, appreciate you so much for calling. Appreciate everybody calling 985-80-JALEN. I appreciate you, Jalen Rose, for always giving the people what they want. You can give the Jalen will be on NBA Countdown tonight at 7 p.m.
That's right. Oh, dog. Hey, dog.
Okay. Oh, Darrell Revis is here.
I'm going to be so clean tonight, dog. I'm going to be so clean. All I got to do is say, Lil' Kim will be proud, dressing all black like the Omen.
Good for you, Mr. Rose. Look forward to seeing you and the NBA Countdown crew on the court in Boston before the return of LeBron James to the Lakers. Hopefully, we'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people. Thanks for everything.
Sure. Monday to break down the whole weekend.
We're not
done. Action on and off the field.
We're not done.